So I have something here in my pocket this morning. Did you say cool? Yeah. So what are these called? Does anyone know what they kind of call these? They kind of have a name. What? Friendship bracelets. Thank you. I appreciate it because there probably could have been some other names for them, but that's the one I was looking for. Friendship bracelets. This is one of the things that I help teach kids how to make when we do like the fall festival and do the jingle all the way and stuff like that. We have a great time. It's amazing how much time these take to make and how fun it is and how quickly kids get to learn how to do it. And I feel like I'm a pretty decent friendship bracelet maker. I'm pretty quick at it. But I have been put to shame by a member of our congregation. Jaden over here is like the friendship bracelet queen, yes, in so many different ways. I feel like I could probably make one. It's kind of like name that tune. I could probably make a friendship bracelet in about 10 minutes, okay? So which I think is pretty quick, okay? Jaden could probably make a friendship bracelet. How quickly do you think you could make one of these? 5 minutes. I knew she was going to cut me by half at least. She is fast. Her little fingers are so fast at making these things. It's absolutely amazing. But as fast as Jaden is at knotting these little things together, I bet you, has anyone not made a, raise your hand if you've never made a friendship bracelet. Never made one ever in your life. So I'm going to pick on Troy because he's kind of old and slow. We'll just say that. So I would be willing to bet money that if I brought Jaden up here and Troy up here, all right, and we had a contest in time, Jaden building one and Troy tearing it apart, I bet you dollars to donuts, that's a weird saying, I know, but dollars to donuts, Troy would win taking it apart in comparison to Jaden putting it together. Jaden's like, I don't know. I bet I could beat the old man. But hey, so it takes a lot longer to build something, to create something, than it is to tear it apart. I have a perfect example of this in my own house. You know, 1st of July, we started tearing apart. You know what I'm saying? And tearing apart is really easy. I mean, you can rip out cupboards and walls and, you know, do all. We can tear. I tore the whole thing apart in about 4 days. I mean, we're talking cupboards and walls and insulation and I didn't take the windows out all at one time, but you know what I'm saying? It's easy to tear it apart. I've spent the next 4.5 months trying to put it back together. It's easy to tear things apart, isn't it? It's a lot more difficult to put it back together. I feel so blessed this morning because God is in control. Actually, the subject that I'm going to be talking about this morning has already been mentioned like 5 different times by at least 3 different people here this morning. You guys, you said it over and over and over again. Did you know what I was talking on this morning? You assumed. All right. I was staying back there going, you got to be kidding me. He says this word over and over here this morning. Did anyone pick up on the word that Troy said over and over again this morning? What? Hope? No, wasn't hope. Anyone else pick it? And then Jody said it, and then Alan prayed it. It's the word encouraged, being encouraged. The passage that we're looking at in 1 Thessalonians, you have your Bible, pull it out and open it up or hit the app or whatever you got to do to get there this morning. 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to start at the end of chapter 2 because that's really what I wanted to preach on last week, but I'm going to kind of throw that in here with this week in chapter 3. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, but really beginning at the end of verse chapter 2. Because last week we were talking about this adversary, the devil, who is always constantly trying to tear us down, trying to destroy, trying to bring destruction into our lives in so many different ways. And he's going to do it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He has the ability. He has the power. He is constantly lurking. He is constantly in a state of destruction, in a state of lies, in a state of a desire to mess things up in our lives. All right, that's not going to happen. I can't stop him. I can't put him in a box and make him not be in your life in any way, shape, or form. But we can counter the effects that Satan can have in our life. I love what Paul says here at the very end of chapter 2, because he got done saying, he says, for we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. He was thwarting our plans. He was keeping us from doing what we wanted to do. But then he says, For what is our hope? I love this part. What is our hope? Our joy. What is our hope? What is our joy? Or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. Chapter 3. So then, when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ to you and strengthen you and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you, and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecutions, we are encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live. Since you are standing firm in the Lord, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and the Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Can you hear the heart of Paul here? Can you hear his longing for the Thessalonians? To see them, to fellowship with them, to share with them, to be shared with from them? Can you hear the love and compassion that he has in his voice? I know when I read this, I think of not only you guys here at this church, but I think of the people in Pleasant Hill that I got to minister. I think of the people in Haiti that I got to minister with, the kids that I got to teach, the people that I got to serve with. I think of the relationships that we built when we were in Jeff Street and in Lincoln. I think of all the relationships that I have gained, that I have been blessed with throughout my time in coming to know Jesus. And the family that he has surrounded me with. And I realize how blessed, how incredibly blessed I am because of Jesus and these relationships that we build together. And so it kind of hurts, to be honest with you, in a lot of ways, because I feel like I've kind of lost, how do I say this? I am not, Kathy, you're agreeing with me already. You're agreeing with me way too quickly this time. All right, so I have lost my encourager. You know what I'm saying? And when I say that, I mean that part of me that is an encouraging person. Because I feel like in a lot of times in ministry anymore, so many times I'm blessed with the opportunity to deal with problems most of the time in my ministry. And so a lot of times what I'm doing is putting out fires and trying to help people, and I'm trying to find solutions for problems. And so many times what happens is when you're trying to find solutions for problems, you're trying to fix things. Instead of fixing and encouraging, I feel like I'm fixing a lot. And so I feel like I've lost that ability to encourage. There was a song, this is kind of weird, there's a song that I've sang to all my kids. Started with Karina, because I'm not much of a singer, you know what I'm saying, and she, all the kids, you know, you got to hold them and rock them and sing to them when they're little babies. You guys all do that, right? What song did you guys sing? You remember what song? Delmer, what song did you sing to your kids? Jesus Loves All the Little Children? Oh, that's a good song. What else? What did you sing, Janice? The Little Red Bird in the Tree. I might have to learn that one. What else? What other songs did you guys sing? You Are My Sunshine. Yeah, that's a good song. You know what I sang? This is weird. What did I sing? Do you remember, Kathy? Devil in the Well, okay, I sang that too, but that's not good. That's not, we're not connecting yet this morning. All right. What? There you go. All right. So the song that I sang more than Devil Went Down to Georgia was Home on the Range. And I don't know why I sang that song. Evidently, it was just stuck in my mind. But he goes, home, home on the range where the deer and the antelope play. You remember the next line? Where seldom is heard a discouraging word. Got cloudy all day. And I sang that over, because I couldn't remember all the rest of the verses or anything like that, but I sang that over and over. And can you imagine? I don't know that I can, but can you imagine life or the world without discouraging words? Wouldn't that be awesome? Let's all go to the range, home on the range. Donnie says, that's not happening. On the range, there's all kinds of discouraging words. These blankety-blank clouds, and why did this fence fall? And we're living in a world that actually focuses on discouragement. Have you noticed that? Like the whole example of, it's so much easier to tear down, to tear it apart, rather than build it up and create it. And we've gotten to a place where we're discouragers instead of encouragers, on the most part. Now, there are some people that are very good encouragers. I can name out that. And Nathan's a great encourager. There's so many great encouragers in this congregation. It's just amazing, and I appreciate them so much. And I appreciate you, because you're probably offsetting my discouragement in a lot of different ways, and so I appreciate the encouragement. But Paul, what he's doing here, he is saying that encouragement is a vital part of a growing church, a vital part of people growing in their faith. As a matter of fact, it was so important that Paul found it early in his ministry important that he would send people. If he was not able to go himself, he would send people just for the sole purpose of going to these small churches that just got started to encourage them. Right here, this is the very first time he ever employed this that we know of in the New Testament. He sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. What does it say to do? He says, I send him to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. If you go back into, let's see if I can find it, in Philippians. Is it Philippians? I wrote it down somewhere. Maybe I didn't. Let's look. No, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. Listen to what, and I might need your help, Sarah. I need your encouragement. Are you there? Oh, that's encouraging. Verse 21, who can help me out with that name? Tychicus? Is that what you said? Tychicus? Why don't we have more Tychicuses in the world today? You know what I'm saying? I'm serious. Like we have a lot of Tituses and things. We need a few more Tychicus, because you know what? Tychicus, that's kind of a fun name when you just start saying it. Everyone say it with me. Tychicus. Tychicus. Come on, that is a fun name. Do we have anyone pregnant right now? Don? No, no, we're good here. Tychicus, I kind of like that. But see, look what Tychicus's job is. He says, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant of the Lord, will tell you everything so that you may know that I am and what I am doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may, listen to what it says, that he may encourage you. He's sending Tychicus all the way there just to encourage the people in Ephesus. Again, in Colossians, at the end of Colossians, take a look there. Same guy, same thing. End of Colossians, verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7. Tychicus, there he is again, will tell you all the news about me. He is dear brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, that he may encourage your hearts. Tychicus, an encourager. Actually, it was one of his main jobs for Paul, is to go out and encourage the congregations. But who is the great encourager? What is the name of the great encourager in the New Testament? A little Bible trivia. What? Barnabas. How many believe it's Barnabas is the great encourager? Yes? Okay, here's the real trivia question. Do you know Barnabas really isn't Barnabas? No. Do you know Barnabas really isn't Barnabas? Do you know what? Barnabas is his nickname. His real name is Joseph. His real name is Joseph. Take a look, if you don't, if you're thinking, oh man, he's just making stuff up now. Take a look in Acts chapter 4, I think it is. Acts chapter 4, you're gonna find out that Mr. Eldon, that's like going back to, that's going back, yeah. Yep, here we go. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. What's it say? Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement. So his real name was Joseph, but they called him Barnabas because he was the son of encouragement. It was his nickname. How would you like to have the nickname that was son of encouragement? That's a good nickname. What would your nickname be? If people knew you, what would they call you? Grumpy, sneezy, lazy, dopey. Would they call you faithful? Servant? Graceful? I remember when we were in Haiti, there was a guy, I can't remember his real name. All I can remember is that he came from Barnabas Ministries. There's literally a whole ministry called the Barnabas Ministries, and they are created and training people to be encouragers. And all they do, this is their entire job. They get sent all over the world to different missionary places and things like that. All they do is send one person in or two people in just to go in and be an encouragement to everyone who's on. You remember when he came? That was so cool. This was the most upbeat, friendly, positive guy. He just walked. That was his job. That's what he did for a living. He just walked around all day long encouraging people, giving them words of encouragement, helping them, doing whatever he could to make them know that they are important. And the thing that amazed me about whatever his name was, this is horrible because this is the example that I'm about to use. The thing that amazed me about this guy is he knew my name in one day. Isn't that terrible? I'm saying I can't remember his name. But the example that I'm using is that he knew everyone's name in one day. I don't know if he had like a dossier of everyone on the ministry and he studied it for the first couple months before he came, but he came in knowing our names. It was just an amazing thing. If you want to encourage someone, call them by name. Just learn who they are. Say their name. Learn a little bit about them. Paul is doing that very quickly here in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3. He is talking about encouraging the believers in Thessalonica in the midst of their trials, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the pain. Listen to what he says. He says, who is our brother and fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out the way, as well you know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. You know what? One of the things that people need encouragement more than anything else right now is in the midst of their trials, because every single one of us, whether we recognize it or admit it or want to say to it or actually show it or say it, every one of us is going through a trial because Satan, the devil, the one who is the persecutor, the accuser, the one who is trying to destroy our lives, he is active right now today in every single one of our lives. He is trying to discourage us. He's trying to us to give up our faith, trying to get us to not step out in faith. He's trying to hold us back. And you know what? More than anything else, the thing that's going to fight against the devil's schemes is other Christians coming alongside and encouraging, recognizing the trials that people are going through and encouraging them, coming alongside them and giving them a boost, giving them an extra word of encouragement, coming alongside them and helping them and doing the things that needs to be done. You would do it. Here's the thing. This is crazy. This is absolutely amazing to me. You would do it if you saw someone sitting in a parking lot with their hood up and they're clicking their little key and it's going click, 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 click. What do you do? Do you just drive away? Oh, that dude's got problems. Keep on moving. Some people do. Absolutely. But what should we do? I got a little example here. What is it that we should do if we drive by and someone's got their hood up and they're click, 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 click? What's going on? They got a bad battery, don't they? So if you got a bad battery, what do you need? Oh, just so happen to have, actually I have two pairs in my truck. This is a heavy duty set right here. These are my jumper cables. What are my jumper cables made to do? They're made to connect, right? What are they made to connect? my battery, which has got some, hopefully, most of the time has a charge in it. It's supposed to connect my battery that has a charge to it. It's got some energy. It's got some life to it. It's supposed to connect my battery to someone's battery who is dead, who has no energy, has no charge in it. You know what? This is a perfect example of what it means to be an encourager. We're supposed to connect our encourager. You want to hold the other end? All right, here. Grab hold of it, man. Man, these are filthy. Holy cow. I had no idea it was dark when I brought them in. All right. So. They're a little twisted up. This illustration is going south quickly. I have no idea what to do now. We connect our energy, our encouragement, the hope, here's probably the biggest thing, the hope that we have, because at some point in time, see how I'm trying to connect to Mark? I'm going to give him some encouragement. But guess what? It runs both ways. That current runs both ways in the battery. You know what? You understand what I'm saying? It's not a one-way street. When I encourage someone, it charges my battery also. I know that sounds a little bit crazy, but it fills me up as well. And we're going to need that, because at some point in time, I'm going to be the one who's disconnected, who's discharged. And I'm going to need someone to connect to me and help me. You see, encouragement is an amazing thing. And it's not whether you're going to have a discharge battery. It's when. Right, Jody? Absolutely. He's like, yeah, come in. We got a special on batteries this week. Anyways, you know, it's not if, it's when. Because every single one of us is going to have trials. Every single one of us is going to have problems. You know why I say that? You cannot avoid it. It is impossible to avoid it. You know why I say that? Because God's word tells me, in this world, you what might, could, should, maybe, will have troubles. But guess what? What? Say it louder. Don't whisper that part. This is the part we need to shout. Everyone wants to shout, we will have trials. Woo! No. What is it? I have overcome the world, Jesus says. Yeah, you're going to have problems. You're going to have trials. You're going to have a heartache. You're going to have pain. But this is not all there is. He says, you're going to have those things, but be encouraged because Christ has overcome the world. And he gives us a hope and a future that will not discharge, will not wear down. And we need to encourage one another with those words. When we see someone down, when we see someone in the pits, when we see someone struggling, when we see people in relationship problems, we need to come alongside them and don't say, oh, you're not the only one, but say, you know what? It's a reason. Take heart. Be encouraged. This is a season in your life. This is not the reality of who you are or how things are going to be, because on the other side of every mountain is another valley. You will come through. Keep your eyes focused on what he tells us to focus on. The author and the perfecter of our faith, who has and will overcome all obstacles. I love how Paul does this, because he's saying, you know what, I told you this is going to happen, and I'm telling you it's going to happen. If it's not happening right now, it's going to happen. If it hasn't happened in the past, it will happen. You are going to have trials. And guess what? We need to be prepared to help one another through that. Recognize the broken condition. Recognize that the hood is up. Recognize that the key is just going click, 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 and come alongside one another and encourage them. Let them know that there is hope. And that hope comes through Jesus. I love how he goes on. He says, but Timothy, has this now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love? He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you there. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, he says, we are encouraged. You see, the current is coming back. He says, I want to encourage you, but now I'm being encouraged. We are encouraged about you because of your faith. We now really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. Listen to what he says. One of the best ways to find encouragement and to be an encourager. Listen to what Paul says next, because this is so amazing. He says, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? one of the most encouraging things you can do, one of the best ways to encourage other people to charge their battery is to find out and let them know how thankful you are for them. That's what Paul's doing. He's even encouraging in this letter by telling them that we are so thankful that you are standing firm in the faith. We are so thankful that your love has increased. We are so thankful. Nothing helps people more than being thanked in some way, shape, or form. Who put it on Facebook this week? Someone put it on Facebook this week about when you go out to eat. Was that you, Lana? Who? Someone put it on Facebook. That when you go out to eat, to stack your plates on the, after you get done eating, to stack your plates on the edge of the table, nice and neatly, for the server to come and pick them up, how encouraging that is to them, that you care enough about them that you're trying to make their job easier. Think about what it's like when someone notices what you've done or that you're working hard and someone says thank you in some way, shape, or form. It could be for the simplest thing. You've got just a great smile. You do. And when you smile, the whole room lights up. You recognize what's in a person and you call it out. There's something so uplifting and encouraging about that. I say I'm so guilty about this because, unfortunately, I've got a mindset anymore that's looking for the problems. You know, I'm trying, you know what I'm saying? You're trying to avoid the problems rather than seeing the good things. And so many times it's a conscious effort that we have to make to be thankful, to find and encourage people one another while the time is still here. He's telling us to encourage because it builds people up. It lets them know that there is a hope and a future. He says the most powerful thing we can do is thank him. Look at what he says. How can we, listen to what it says. How can we thank God enough for you? It's a continual word of praise, a constant recognition of who people are and what they're doing. I thank God for you guys. It's amazing what this church, what this body of believers has done and is doing and will continue to do. You know, I look at this week, on Friday and Saturday. I mean, Epperly's are going to be moving on Friday. Is that right? They got stuff to move over. And then we got to get that mission house cleaned up. And then, you know, Saturday, Cindy needs to be moved back into Walnut. And that's going to be a Saturday thing. And you know what? This is the craziest, busiest time of the year right now for most of the people who are able to work and do these things. A lot of our farmers and stuff like that are so busy. And you know what it's going to take? It's going to take people who wouldn't normally do these things to step out in faith and actually be an encouragement to Cindy and to one another and to come and help and do that. Here's one of the things. It's going to take 2 hours. What? Rain would help? Don't say that very loud. Most of them are not here, but they would not like to hear that right now. Look at Ed. See, he just, no rain. Look, oh, you might want to scoot over just one more chair to Amy right now. Next week is a great opportunity to show someone that you care, to help out, to find out how God can work in your life that day to be an encouragement to Cindy and to so many other people who are going to see that moving crew come in and take care of a small job in just a short period of time. We need to encourage one. Finally, here in the last part of this message, I'm going to bring this out. Listen to what he says in verse 10 for encouragement. We can encourage people by coming alongside them. We can encourage people by being thankful, just like what Paul is saying. But this last one is extremely powerful. It says, night and day, verse 10, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. How would you like to know that someone is praying for you night and day? What an encouragement that is. I know the last couple weeks, since I asked what I want for Pastor Appreciation Month, I was pretty unashamedly bold. It's kind of like saying, this is what I want for Christmas. Sorry about that, but. There's something so encouraging about letting them know, letting me know that they're praying for you. That makes such a huge difference. And when Paul says, I'm praying for you, he doesn't just say, I'm praying for you in a lackluster kind of way. He actually defines what he's praying. Listen to what he says. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. Listen to what he says. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. He's praying that he may strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. You see, there's something very powerful when people are very specific about their prayers for you. Does anyone not want anyone to pray for them? Would you rather just be left off the prayer list? That you just knew you're going on it on your all on your own. You're all by yourself. No one's even thinking about you. Nobody? Point made. We all want to be prayed for. We all want to be encouraged. We all want to know that people recognize either our fallen condition or the hurt that we're having or the troubles that we're facing or the needs that we have. The only way that's going to happen is if we choose to come alongside one another like she read in Hebrews chapter 10 and don't stop meeting together, sharing our lives with one another, encouraging one another, spurring one another on, allowing our lives to be shared with one another so that we can be encouraged, connect with one another so we're each on each end and we're receiving energy, we're receiving goodness from one another so that we can live and be bonded with one another in Christ Jesus our Lord, because he is our hope. He is our sustainer. We need him. Amen? I'm going to give you a challenge this week. I want you to purposely figure out a way to encourage people this week. When you go into the workplace, I want you to figure out a way to come alongside them if you feel like they're hurting, or just come alongside them and let them know that you care. Come alongside them and share with them. Thank them for the prospects or the things that they have in their life. It might be thank you for opening the door for it. Thank you. Just in some way, find ways to be thankful. There's a really cool thing that I read that I can't remember the lady's name just now. She said, I look at everyone with a sign, like they have a sign around their neck. Now I forgot how it goes. She looks at everyone like they have a sign around their neck. Thank you for what? And look at each person and fill in the blank for them and see them through those eyes. And they have a sign that they're literally wanting to be recognized. They're wanting someone to acknowledge who they are or what they've got going. And if you will acknowledge them, if you will thank them, if you will encourage them, you will make a friend for life. I've got to read this real quick because I know I wrote it down for a reason and I just remembered it. It says, if you flatter me, listen to this. If you flatter me, I may not believe you. You get that? Because a lot of times we want to flatter people. Usually when someone flatters me, I kind of think, what do they want? You know what I'm saying? I may not believe you. If you criticize me, I may not like you. Is that true? If you criticize me, I may not like you too much. If you ignore me, I may not forgive you. But if you encourage me, I will never forget you. I might not remember their name, but I remember the person. And I remember their nickname. Barnabas. Son of encouragement. What will they call you?